Just an ordinary Jack Tar. By Dorset Knob. This November 11th at 11:00 a.m., as in past years, we take time to remember and honor those men and women who served in our armed forces, some of whom made the ultimate sacrifice protecting this country and our way of life. Thanks to GQ and others on this blog, most will have read the stories of people honored with medals such as the Victoria Cross and George Cross. However, many thousands of our folk did their duty in the face of extreme danger without being awarded such high honors. This is the story of one such person's life serving in the Royal Navy during and after those war years. John Walter Shirley, 1921-1989. Known as Dad to Mrs. K, her two sisters and brother, and Jack to Mummy and his mates. Royal Navy Service, June 1939, June 1961. Jack's story begins in the summer of 1939. Germany, under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, by this time had already reoccupied the Rhineland with troops, taken over the Sudetenland and invaded Czechoslovakia. Europe was on a knife edge and tensions were high despite Neville Chamberlain's Peace for Our Time speech of September 38 concerning the Munich Agreement. Jack the Lad was an 18-year-old factory hand living with his family in west of London and, like most young men of his age, was looking for a life away from the confines and restrictions of his parents and siblings. Jack joined the Royal Navy on the 27th of June 1939 as a stoker, second class. He was assigned to HMS Victory. Note: no seagoing ship has carried the name Victory since Nelson's flagship was moved to dry dock in 1922, but naval regulations insist that every sailor is allocated to a ship. Quite a few shore establishments were named as HMS Victory. In fact, there were 8 of them during World War I. For Jack, HMS Victory was the main barracks in Queen Street, Portsmouth. After training and qualifying as a leading stoker in September, Jack was assigned to his first seagoing ship in the November of 1939. Most readers of the blog will have the images etched in their memories from the TV footage of its successor's tragic ending in Falkland Sound on the 23rd of May 1982. From November 1939 through April 1940, Antelope, part of the 18th Destroyer Flotilla, carrying out patrol and convoy duties in the Channel and Western Approaches. On the 5th of February 1940, Antelope was the sole escort of an outward-bound convoy south of Ireland when U-41 attacked the convoy, sinking the freighter Beaverburn and damaging the tanker Saronia. Antelope retaliated, depth-charging and sinking the U-41 with all 49 crew aboard. It was the only U-boat at sea in the area at that time and was the first to be sunk underwater by a single destroyer. April 1940 through August 1940 saw the Antelope attached to the Home Fleet conducting operations as part of the Norwegian campaign. On April 9, Antelope with 11 other destroyers set sail from Scapa Flow with HMS Renown and engaged the Germans on the 9th and 10th for the First Battle of Narvik, where the first British forces landed at Andalsens in Romsdal on the 13th to support the Norwegian army. On the 19th of April, the French cruiser Emile Bertin was attacked by the Luftwaffe and suffered bomb damage. Antelope was charged with escorting the French flagship back to Scapa Flow. Antelope then returned to operations off Norway. In early May, with heavy casualties and lacking control of the air, the British forces were withdrawn from Andalsens. Anecdotal Jack told the family years later that he was put on a charge during the Norwegian campaign for leaving his equipment on shore. While manning a boat to pick up troops fleeing the German advance, he was on the beach and removed his boots to shake out wet sand and grit when the Germans opened fire on the retreating troops. With the boat loaded and under fire, he jumped aboard, leaving his boots on the beach while they made their way back to the Antelope offshore. On 13 June, Antelope collided with HMS Electra off Trondheim and had to return to Tyneside for repairs, then after joined the 16th Destroyer Flotilla based out of Harwich. In August, Antelope sailed in a convoy to take part in Operation Menace. The attack on Dakar, French West Africa, Senegal, to install the Free French forces under Charles de Gaulle. 1 September, HMS Fiji was torpedoed and so Antelope escorted her back to the Clyde and then joined the 12th destroyer flotilla based at Greenock taking part in convoy escort duties. On 31 October 1940, Antelope was escorting convoy OB-237 when it encountered U-31 off Northwestern Ireland. Depth charges from Antelope and HMS Achates drove U-31 to the surface, where her crew abandoned ship. Antelope attempted to board the submarine, but collided with it, damaging the ship and sinking U-31. Antelope rescued 44 of the submarine's crew and returned them to Greenock. November through to January 1941, the Antelope continued its patrol and convoy duties. 20th of January 1941, Jack signed off from the Antelope for the last time. Jack was assigned to HMS Erebus between 15th of February 1941 to 6th of November 1942. Monitor class designed a stable gun platform with 15 inches guns with a shallow draft to allow operations close inshore. Erebus was at the end of a refit which started in November 1940. Further fitting carried on up until July, having 3 3-in-1/2 guns on port and starboard with fire control. During July, trials and service preparation took place and August Erebus joined the home fleet Scarpa Flow. Duties continued through to December 1941 when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. January 1942, Erebus was nominated for foreign duties at Trincomalee, Ceylon, arriving in March. Whilst in harbor on April 9, Erebus sustained damage and casualties under a Japanese air attack. Several aircraft were destroyed by the ship's defenses. May and July, the Erebus was under repair in Bombay, and in August, Erebus resumed fleet services and took passage to Kilindini, Mombasa. In September, Erebus joined the battleship HMS Warspite, cruisers HMS Birmingham, Gambia, Manxman, Dauntless, and Caradoc, aircraft carrier HMS Illustrious, seaplane carrier HMS Albatross, screened by 12 destroyers with additional minesweeping support to prepare support landings at Diego's Airs, as the strategic value of Madagascar was essential to prevent any invasion by Japanese forces. October, Erebus was ordered to return to the UK via the Cape of Good Hope. Sailing to the UK, Jack signed off Erebus at HMS Assagai, Durban SA, on 7 November and then joined HMS Fritillary on 6 January 1943. HMS Fritillary Flower Class Corvette. Believed to have become the merchant vessel Andrea in 1947, renamed VD Chidambaram in 1949. Scrapped in India 1955. HMS Fritillary. Launched the 22nd of July 1941, sold the 19th of March 1946, converted for mercantile service. The start of 1943 brought indications of a renewal of the U-boat campaign off the South African coast. Orders were given for the corvette's Fritillary, Frisier, Nigella and Jasmine should remain at Durban and placed under the operational command of Commander-in-Chief, South Atlantic on 17 January 1943. In addition to local escort duties, they were to carry out additional AS patrols. On Wednesday, 3 February, Fritillary and Time escorted CA.09, Cape Town to Aden. Fritillary transferred to books of GNU, RN Base, Cape Town, South Africa, formerly Africana 3, on April 1, 1943. On Monday, 26 April, Submarine Trusty departed from Durban for Simonstown escorted by HMS Fritillary. En route, exercises were carried out with the submarine and South African Air Force aircraft. During the night of 27/28 of April, the two ships lost contact. Aircraft searched for Trusty but were unable to find her. She arrived at Simonstown on the 29th April. At the end of May 1943, Fritillary sailed from Durban with the armed merchant cruiser Carthage, corvette Rock Rose and the destroyer Nizam as escort for convoy CM.42, Durban to Kilindini, leaving Durban on the 30th, Fritillary, Rockrose and Nizam left the convoy on June 1. It is probable that Fritillary underwent a refit during June, July 1943. HMS Fritillary resumed convoy escort duty, in company with the corvettes Jasmine and Rescue Tug Masterful, W-20, at the start of August, covering the 8 merchant ships of CB.2, Durban to Bra, between the 1st and the 4th. This time the convoy came under attack, at 00.24 hours on August 30, 196 attacked the convoy about 100 miles northeast of Member Bay, Tanganyika. The submarine reported one ship sunk and one left burning and in a sinking condition, however, only the city of Oran was hit and later scuttled by gunfire from Masterful. The captain, 75 crew members and 10 gunners were picked up by the tug and landed at Mombasa. On August 6, Fritillary, Jasmine and Rockrose joined the four ships of convoy AMC.8, sailing from Kyalandini July 30 for Durban, and seven merchant ships of BC.3, Bra to Durban, and escorted them into Durban, arriving there on the 10th. At the beginning of September, HMS Fritillary was allocated to return to the Kyalandini escort force to operate on the Kyalandini to Aden convoy route. The next convoy to be escorted was the longest route so far. HMS Fritillary was teamed with the corvettes Freesia and Tulip, AS Trawlers Cape Warwick, Northern Isles, and Norwich City on September 17 to escort the nine ships of convoy DK1, Durban for Kyalandini. The voyage took 11 days, arriving at Kyalandini on September 30. Jack signed off HMS Fritillary at HMS Lanka, Colombo, Ceylon, on the 30th of September 43 and was assigned to HMS Lanka where his duties were aboard ML-847 carrying out coastal operations around Ceylon and into the Bay of Bombay until 15th of July 1944. From the 16th of July 1944, Jack's service record shows him being assigned to Victory through to the 3rd of February 1945. However, from what we know of anecdotal stories that Jack told the family, Jack at 5'6 inches, with dark hair, brown eyes and, to quote an entry in his service record, dark swarthy complexion, volunteered to become one of a select few that served on the Greek Ikes pressed into service by the RN for clandestine operations in the Aegean Sea and Eastern Mediterranean known as the Levant Schooner Flotilla. The clandestine work of Levant Schooner Flotilla was depicted in the classic fictional war film Guns of Navarone and the film Ill Met by Moonlight, which is an account of events on Crete during World War II of an agent of the Special Operations Executive, SOE, and the abduction of Heinrich Kreit, the chief military commander of Crete. The flotilla was formed early in 1942, after the fall of Greece, with two harbour defence motor launches, HDMLs, armed with Bofors and Oerlikon plus some kikes. The kike was a common vessel in the Aegean, used for fishing and trading, and they could pass as such if challenged at first sight. One of the flotilla's main roles was landing raiding parties at night on Axis-held islands. The crews practiced open sea navigation using small aircraft compasses with phosphorescent dials, which made it easier than using sight alone to locate the mouth of a secluded creek or cove in the dark. Teams that had memorized the coastline silhouettes made final approaches in stages, inching toward a known rock in line with a cliff or a gap between hills. Camouflage was another key skill, as the LSF operated in darkness and spent daylight hours anchored in the Turkish waters of the Gulak Gulf. Hiding was imperative, not only to evade German patrols but also to give neutral Turkey, which had agreed to turn a blind eye to British forces operating in its waters, plausible deniability. Just before dawn each day, crews dismantled masts and draped hulls in camouflage netting, raising poles and draping more netting over them, which created false profiles that mimicked the rocky outcroppings. Despite the LSF vessel's heavy weaponry, their role wasn't offensive and engaging the enemy was decidedly a last resort. In September 1943, the Allied advance onto the Italian mainland transformed the military situation in the eastern Mediterranean. The Italians surrendered the Dodecanese Islands in the Aegean Sea to the British, who promptly garrisoned them. But the Germans, needing the larger islands of Leros, Symi, Samos, and Kos in the Dodecanese for airfields from which to defend their holdings in the Balkans, quickly moved to seize all four. In October, German airborne troops landed on Kos. Soon a battalion of British infantrymen were fighting for their lives, and those who were not killed or captured fled to the hills. An SBS patrol found survivors, and by night escorted them to a remote beach where an LSF kike slipped in and spirited the soldiers away. After the Germans seized the four Greek islands, the Levant schooner flotilla returned to a Royal Navy base in Beirut, Lebanon, to refit and expand. From the original 12 kikes, the fleet grew to more than 30, plus mother ships that carried supplies. This demanded more crews, and at this time Jack joined one of the kike crews. Originally fitted with Bulna diesel engines, which in fine weather were audible for miles. As most movements were carried out at night, they were replaced by 90 HP Matilda tank engines, which could be run at half throttle giving the same speed, so were relatively quiet. A lot of the crews were scallywags who didn't fit into big ship navy life, and the rather relaxed life on the kikes suited them down to the ground. The commanders were not interested in the past as long as crews knew their job and did it to the best of their ability. Naval discipline in the accepted sense was neither required nor enforced, and they let crews get on with the job. Many grew their hair long, tied back, and reveled in their piratical appearance. On one noteworthy occasion, LS3 was ordered to Mykonos. The passengers they found waiting were a senior Waymact officer and his Greek mistress. The German had arranged with the island's LSF agents to give up information on German troop and shipping movements. In return, he and his woman would be taken from the island and onto Palestine. The local partisans didn't like it. They insisted the officer was their prisoner, but fortunately a lot of food was put ashore and a couple of bottles of rum, so the officer was handed over. Only once did the Germans capture a kike. Interrupting a reconnaissance mission in April 1944, German forces intercepted LS-24 as it approached the island of Alamea. All 10 crewmen were subjected to what a German report on their interrogation described as special treatment. For refusing to talk, even under duress, the Germans executed them. Most LSF crews worried less about the Germans and more about the weather. The Aegean seems idyllic to the untrained eye, but sailors accustomed to the region know how quickly things can turn bad. When asked in later years by one Mrs. K's siblings about why Jack had volunteered in the knowledge that he could have been executed for being out of uniform, he said it was worth the risk as the pay was better while serving in the flotilla. Also, the sister-in-law asked why he was chosen and what would have happened if the Germans had boarded the boat, as he could not speak Greek, Turkish or German. Jack's response was that he was chosen because he was swarthy-looking, and if Germans had boarded the boat, he would have only grunted if spoken to. Jack returned to the UK and was stationed at HMS Rawley from 4 February 1945 to 6 October 1945, seeing out the final months of the European conflict in relative safety. Post-war, Jack continued serving in the Royal Navy with postings at home and abroad, serving on many ships of the fleet. One noteworthy posting from September 1954 to April 1955 was aboard HMY Britannia touring the Caribbean with Princess Margaret aboard in 1955. Jack aboard HMS Peacock, far left against the rail and one up, in his whites. The title of this article was a question, just an ordinary Jack Tar. I hope this article goes to show, there are no such people serving in our armed forces. All may look ordinary on the surface, but each has a remarkable story if you care to look deeper. At 11 a.m. on this November 11th, we will honor you, Jack. We will stand silent and remember all who served alongside you during World War II, plus those that served in the conflicts before, after, and all those serving in our armed forces today. Copyright text and images, Dorset Knob 2020.